Listen, I believe that this day is a family day, that God wants to bring restoration to your families, that God wants to restore families, that God wants to bring something to your families in this day. There is a us in heaven that God wants upon the earth, right? The Bible says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them have dominion and multiply. Are you with me? And as we start off this month of May, I want to start off this with the whole theme of the month of May is reviving family. Are you there? Reviving family. Save me, revival looks like family. Oh, come on, let's say it again. Revival looks like family. So we are going to revive the family in the May of months, or the month of May. We're going to see things that wasn't to come back to how it should be. We're going to see fathers coming back into their positions. We're going to see mothers step back into their positions. We're going to see sons and daughters stepping back into their destiny, back into the plan, back into the purpose. Just because the world is in chaos doesn't mean our families need to be. Are you with me? Come on. So say with me, fight for family. This morning, I want us to fight for family. There is dimensions that I believe that the Lord wants to release in this hour, because as ever or as never before, families are being attacked, and more than ever before, families are attacked. And yesterday, as I was thinking with God about this, I said, Lord, but why are families so heavily attacked? What is it about the season that makes family under such a huge onslaught? Especially the man, especially the wife, especially the children. Why is family under such heavy attack in the season? There has to be a reason. And he gave me a scripture, Malachi chapter 4, verse number 6, which simply says this: his preaching will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and I'll strike the land for curse. In other words, the very last movement that we will see upon the planet is a turning of the son's hearts back to the father's hearts and the father's hearts back to the son's hearts, so that he can pour out his spirit, so that revival can come upon the earth. Are you there? The enemy knows that family looks like revival. Revival looks like family. And because Satan knows that, he'll do anything and everything to attack the family. But I want us to go deeper this morning. Is that okay? May we say that this is a house of revelation, because if you understand that this is a house of revelation, the way we preach is prophetic preaching. We preach by revelation out of the word of the Lord, so that the people may be empowered. Are you there? Are you with me? Come on, empowered church. Just say amen or something. Talk back to me this morning, please. Save me, revival looks like family. It's important that you get that this morning. Revival looks like family. I want to just show you something. Because if you understand what I'm going to demonstrate now to you, I want to show you why he attacks family so severely and so heavily. If Richard stands here, I need two more. I need a woman and I need just somebody else. Can quickly to any two people come more, please. Thank you, William. Charmaine, come. I want you to understand something here. Save me, revival looks like family. Oh, come on, empower. Don't sit in your mouth this morning. Are you there? We are. The Bible says, let us make man in our image. Just stand next to one another. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness, right? So, for an example, this is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Are you there? They are three, yet they're one. Then the Bible says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Everybody okay? Come on, are you there? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're three distinct personalities, yet they are one God. So you get God the Father, which is in control, well, God the Father. Then you get God the Son, which is the Word. Then you get God the Holy Spirit, that is the activator. Are you there? All three of the Godhead cannot be on the planet simultaneously. That's why when God the Father is in heaven and God the Son is seated next to him, the God the Holy Spirit will be upon the planet Earth. That's why when God the Son would return, the Holy Spirit's job would be to take the saints out of you. The only time, listen, I'm going to give you a revelation. The only time that man, that God the Son and God the Holy Spirit was on the same planet on the same time was for him to give birth to his bride, the church. Okay, I'm going to get into revelation just now. Now listen to me. If God made Adam, listen to this. If God made Adam and he started off with Adam, because the Bible says, let us make man in our image and our likeness. So he started with Adam, right? But there's no attack. Why? Adam still does not represent the Trinity. Then God makes, I can't use William as Eve. Then God makes Adam, then God makes Eve. Then, let's just switch the roles. He takes the Holy Spirit and he places it in the marriage. Now, what you have again a representation of the Godhead. Why did Satan attack when Eve came onto the scene? Because suddenly Satan saw that there was a Trinity on the earth as it was in heaven. Let us make man in our image. Oh, come on. The reason why you're under attack is because the very nature of how he has designed you has been purposed to bring heaven down to earth. So from that time, what Satan tries to do, he tries to remove the man out of the marriage context, because if he removes the man, there is no us. Or the enemy will come and he'll take the wife out of the marriage. And again, there's no us. Come on, empower church. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I want to revise before, because if you don't catch this, you're going to catch nothing. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are three, yet they one. The Bible says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, right? Let us make man. It's the Godhead. Let us make man. So there's a us. There's not an I in heaven. There's a us in heaven. When you hear the terminology I, that's when you just hear a fall. Let me say it again. When Satan started to use the terminology I, the very action of God was out. Because there's no I in the kingdom, there's a us in the kingdom. Whenever a person uses the terminology I, it means they've removed themselves from the us. Oh, come on, are you there? So let me say it again. God made Adam, no reason for the enemy to attack. Why? Adam by himself is not a threat. Because Adam by himself cannot reproduce. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them have dominion. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over ever creeping things. Then God brings Eve to him. Are you there? Now suddenly the enemy should become afraid, because now God's plan is getting into action, but yet the eternity or the Trinity is not present until now you see husband, Holy Spirit, and wife. Save me, revival looks like family. Okay? When Adam fell, listen to me, I want you to catch revelation. When Adam fell, the fall of man was not the fall of Adam. The fall of man was the fall from marriage. Oh, no, you didn't catch what I just said. The fall of man was not Adam sinning against God. The fall of man was Adam and Eve falling from the image and the likeness of God. Because now what the enemy does, the only thing he needs to do, he needs to remove the man, or he needs to remove the woman, or he needs to let the man and the woman be disobedient to the Holy Spirit. As soon as he removes the man, there's no power. As soon as he removes the woman, there's no power. Or when he makes the man and the woman go outside of the word of the Lord and stop being obedient to the Holy Spirit, the image and the likeness of God immediately falls. Oh, thank you, guys. Come on, give Jesus Christ. Are you understanding? Come on, save me, reviving family. We have to get this stuff right in this month because God wants more than ever before. God wants to put the things back together again. I want to say to you this morning, as married couples that are sitting here, you are not together because you just liked one another. God had a purpose, and His purpose was to demonstrate the Father. Oh, come on, are you there? The purpose was to demonstrate the kingdom of heaven. The reason why husband and wives are together is not for the sake of just making children. It's not the goal. The goal is reproduce heaven on the earth. Oh, can I have an amen for that? That's why the first question Satan asked Jesus was the question around identity. Did God say? Because he knew, Jesus, listen to me, I'm going to throw out revelation for you. This is why he said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, because Jesus was on a mission to marry his bride. Jesus was on a mission to restore to the earth what was lost on the earth. It was never lost in heaven, it was lost on the earth. Come on, are you guys with me? Because the us in heaven is there, it's still existing. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit upon the earth. Now the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. We are now the bride of Christ. We are again going to be married to the Son. Or we're already engaged to the Son. We're just going to get married to Him. But the purpose of marriage is to live out the kingdom of heaven. Oh, come on, are you there? May I say it like this? If I make anything, if you are a designer of anything, you have to go to the original maker or the designer to understand the intent. But I understand for the first time, and I hope you catch it this morning, that the reason why Satan is attacking family so vehemently is because right from the Garden of Eden, even up to now, he wants family to be disengaged. Why? Because the us cannot be there. Let us agree where two or more agree. It shall be done. There has to be an us so that the heavens can come. Oh, come on, guys. Are you with me? Just give Jesus Christ the praise of himself. Listen, family is God's final plan for society. He doesn't have another plan. Family is revival. Come on, are you there? Family is revival. And in this season and in this time, what we are dealing with a confused society because society is confused. Oh, come on. Is there anybody with me? Listen, a lot of families is a community. If I take a lot of families and I put them together, that a lot of families makes a community. A lot of communities makes a city. A lot of cities makes a nation. Now, let me say that again. A lot of families makes a community. A lot of communities makes a city. A lot of cities makes a nation. So if I want to destroy a nation, where do I go to? I go to the heart of the nation. What is the heart of the nation? Family. If the enemy is after a nation, he's just after the family. If he disengages a family, he destroys a nation. In South Africa, we have more children that are fatherless than any other season in the world. Because God does, ladies, let me just say it like this. When you go and look for a man, God never said look for a man. God said look for a husband. Because there is a huge difference between reproducing and fathering. No, you didn't get that. A male can give sperm because that's what males do. However, that is not what the Lord's design is. The Lord's design is not for a woman to find a male. The design is for a woman to find a husband. Come on, are you there? Are you with me? I want you to catch this because family existed long before governments did. And because family existed long before governments did, governments cannot tell you how to run your family. No, let me say that again. Family was God's idea. Because it's God's idea, we have to follow God's blueprint. If we don't follow the Lord's blueprint, is there anybody with me? You see, most of the men, we have a misunderstanding. We believe we are the head. No, Christ is the head. You are the foundation. I understand and I know people might differ from me. The Bible does call the man, the priest, the king, the priest, and the prophet. And it is so that you are the head. I understand that. But you have to understand this, that Jesus Christ is the head. So there's one level up, and if Jesus is not the head, you cannot be the head. The reason, one of our greatest challenges right now, is that the Bible says that the Father, the Greek word for the word Father is the word pater. The word pater means foundation. Come on, are you with me? It's the word foundation. And the reason why so many ladies are crushed in this hour is because they are not being made to be the foundation. Oh, no. Come on, I want you to talk back to me this morning. Men have been made to be the foundation. Men are the, when you go into a house, you never condemn a house based upon the lights or the chairs or the furniture that's inside the house. You condemn the house based on the foundation. If there's something wrong with the foundation, the house will fall. Oh, come on, give Jesus Christ just a praise offering here. Come on. The house, that is why, and I don't know if you get what I'm saying here, but you have to understand is that when God, let me say that just again, because I want everybody to get this. God wants you to understand, woman, you have not been made to be the foundation. You are not the carrier of the house. I'm sorry, even though you're very skilled and brilliant and beautiful, you are not made to be the foundation. God made a man to be the foundation. That's why, let me give a revelation here. Say me revelation. That's why when God will bring a female to a female will never be done. She will never be complete and she'll never be perfect. Why? Because God did not bring a woman to a male. God brings a woman to a husband. The word husband means you need to work at it. You need to till it. You need to work in your own garden. You need to elevate your own garden. You need to produce your own things. You cannot just expect that by itself. It doesn't work like that. Oh, can I have an amen to that? I don't understand. Let me say it like this. When God made man, it's interesting that God made man in the presence of God. Adam was made in the presence. So women, here's a tip. Never go find a man that's not in the presence. You've got no business of a man that's not in the presence. He has to be in the presence. You have to find him in the presence. I don't know if you believe this or not, but families are under attack. There's certain things that we find applicable. Listen, there's certain things that is not applicable. No, let me say it like this. There's certain thing that's pure right, we have to reject it. In this hour. Well, not in this hour, we are living in this time, but there's certain stuff that we have to reject. See, can I say it just like it is, like God gave it to me? Because I don't know how else to say this stuff, you know, in my personalities, I just will say it. A man can make a baby, but it takes a father to raise them. So a man can make a baby. You have to understand that a man can produce sperm, but that is not the goal. The goal is fathering. The goal is husbanding. And if I look at South Africa, do you know what I see? I see a lot of young people that has not been fathered. And so, because we are seeing something in the fathers, we believe, let me use an example. If we sit here as Christians this morning and we believe that our children don't watch us, you have one big, massive surprise coming for you. If you sit as a grown-up Christian in this church this morning and all the people that are online, and you sit in a Sunday year smelling nice, looking good and lifting your hands, but from Monday to Saturday you live like a hooligan, and then you come on a Sunday and you want to lift your hands here in church, what's going to happen is your children will start to believe that Christianity is a fake, hypocritical thing, that you can live like you want Monday to Saturday, but then Sunday you come to church and show up as a Christian. No. I'm sorry. There isn't something like that. You either live it like it is or you don't live it at all. Are you with me? If we as grown-up Christians, if we live in our own households and we drink and we smoke and we curse and we do all of these things, then what we're actually telling our children is, listen, it's okay to serve God and curse and drink and do whatever they want. That's called sending your children to hell 101. Come on, do I have somebody with me? I love you, I tell you the truth. But doesn't help me to not tell you the truth. The Bible says that marriage is a sanctity, it's holy, it's given by God. That means you should be married to one wife, one husband, that's it. Are you there? Bible says you can only divorce for one reason, and that is for sexual adultery. That's it. And I don't want to be religious about this stuff, but listen, I've been married for 17 years to one wife. When I got her, she's one wife, 17 years, three girls. That's it, faithfulness, loyalness. You have to understand in the marriage context, not everything is perfect all the time. If they tell you it is, they're lying to you. No, you work your garden. And listen to me, if you don't work your own garden, don't go look for another garden, work your own garden. That's right. So husbands, listen to me this morning, work that garden. I want you to be a man that works your own garden. If your wife picks up a little bit of weight and she doesn't look exactly like she should, don't tell her she's fat. No, give her a gym program, exercise with her, do something about it. Oh, come on, can I have somebody here? If she's not looking exactly like, you know, the pretty pictures that you see that you think she needs to look like, then do something about it. Take the lady to a spa, for God's sake. You know, buy for something for her hair. Just do something about it. Yeah, come on, ladies. Can I have some support here? You see, Jesus, the Bible makes it very clear. The Bible says, Jesus says, your father, the devil. Jesus throws this hectic statement out in John 8:44. He says, your father, the devil. Your father, the devil, the father of lies. What is the father of lies? Oh, come on, save me revelation. Save me revival of family. Save me us. This is the father. This is the lie of the father of. This is the lie of the devil. This is the father of lies. This is what he told you. This is what he's told man. In the beginning, when Adam and Eve was on the scene, the Bible says God gives the instruction to Adam. He says, Adam, have dominion, multiply, and reproduce. Right? He gives Eve onto the scene. Holy Spirit comes. Now the Trinity is present. The us in heaven is on the earth. Satan is immediately scared about that. Why? He sees a representation. Are you guys with me? He sees, now he has to attack, because if he doesn't attack, what's going to happen is through this family unit, God's going to start to reproduce himself. And so he's afraid of the Lord reproducing himself through the family unit, because God is not going to do it another way. He's going to do it through your family. Whatever the fathers don't conquer, the sons will have to. Let me tell you again, if you have a man sit here this morning and you don't conquer sin in your life, and you don't conquer porn, and you don't conquer drink, and you don't conquer cursing, and you don't conquer your anger, your sons and your daughters is going to fight those devils with you and for you. So whatever devil you cannot put under your feet, that devil is coming right at your children. I'm telling you the truth. My father, my physical father, he taught me some stuff and he won some battles so that I don't need to fight them again. And God knows, as I stand here in front of you, there is some battles that my children will never fight because I'm fighting them. Come on, where's the dad? So what is the lie? The lie was this, that Satan said, if it is to be true, then God is actually taking the fruit away from you. God doesn't want you to eat of the fruit of the tree, very simply, because if you eat it, you are like God. Lie, you're already like God. So the question around that the enemy was producing was a question around God's goodness. Is he good? Does he have good intentions? And so he questions the validity of who God says he is. Come on, guys, are you with me? Do you understand, church? Are you there? And so the reason why there's a question here around identity or the goodness of the Lord, is he really as good as what? Is he really as good? And the Bible says Eve takes of the fruit. God the Father does nothing when Eve takes the fruit. But when Adam takes the fruit, God comes onto the scene. Why does God come onto the scene when Adam takes the fruit? Because Adam represents the foundation. Adam represents the husband. Adam represents the one that needs to cultivate. Adam represents the one that the word was given to. And so God comes immediately upon the scene. And now many years later, Jesus comes onto the scene. And Jesus says, your father, the devil, the father of lies. Why does he say the father of lies? I hope you catch what I'm saying. Because at that moment, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were once again believing that to become like God, they needed to follow a set of rules to believe that he's good. No, he's already good, and you don't come into the family of God by being good. You are born into the family of God, and because you are born into the family of God, you cannot be thrown out of the family of God. Oh, come on, is there somebody that catch what I'm saying? Let me say that again. A man should not only, I know, and you know, these days, it's almost like, I don't know how to say these things, so I'll say it as it is that a man is not the head, he's the foundation. God wants the man to be the foundation. And as the foundation, you are called to be the one that carries that whole family. Come on, guys, are you with me? Come on, just say amen or something to that. Oh, come on, can we give Jesus just 10 seconds of praise here? Can we just give him some praise? Save me, revival looks like family. Oh no, say with me again. Save me, revival looks like family. So as I was looking at this is what the Lord said to me yesterday. He said, You're not supposed to marry a man. You're supposed to marry a husband. Let me say that again. Because Jesus calls himself the husband and not the man. Oh, are you with me? Let me say that again. Jesus calls himself the husband and not the man. Why? Because as the husband, he washes the bride with his words. Listen, men, I want to give you a secret. Yes, if you can start to wash your woman with the word of your mouth, you will see a future in your woman that you've never seen before. Why? You have chosen to wash her by the word of the Lord. Your mouth is like a double-edged sword. What you say happens. What you prophesy is declared. Oh, come on. Do I have somebody with me? As a father, what do you want to see of your children? As a father, what do you want to see of your wives? What do you want to see? If you want to see it, you have to say it. If you want to say it, you have to see it. If you want to see it, you have to say it. And you have to declare it. And you need to work at it. God told Adam, work, Adam. Nowhere in the Bible does God give any space for a man to sit around. No, the Bible says God said for a man shall work. Ladies, listen, the first question you ever ask a man is, a man, where is your work? Where are you working, my brother? Look, we must not confuse that vision and purpose and election is in the family. God has chosen the family as a vehicle of revival, and he wants to bring revival upon the earth in this hour now. And that's why there's such a huge satanic onslaught against men. Men are starting to get confused. Am I a man? Am I a woman? No. Look at your biological design. If you are a biological man. You are not a woman. My brothers, let's not confuse the matter. There's such an attack upon our children. Disney wants to tell us our children are what they feel. Rubbish. Our children is what the word of the Lord says. Because cartoons are confused, our households should not be. Oh, can I have an amen for that, please? No. Just look at your makeup. The Bible says a man, a woman. Woman. Man. What is a woman? A woman is a man of a womb. So just do a simple biological check. If you don't have a womb, you're a man. Where's my beautiful wife? Quickly come here. Come on, guys. Let's just give Jesus some praise. We're going to take families back for Jesus this morning. You see, if Shannon and I if we come together, God can reproduce. Are you with me? And by the way, I'll just say this. My dad said always this. He said, your wife must always look better year after year. Then you are doing something right. Are you okay? Okay, I want you just to understand something here while I'm on this topic. With her, I can reproduce, right? But my job is to cultivate her. My job is to work at this garden. Because I met her when she was 18, I was 22. Okay, or 21. I got married when I was 22. From that time to this time, I've worked this garden. Why? She must become better and better and better. So that my children can become better and better and better. Okay, now with Shannon standing here, Pastor Ira, quickly come. I just want to show something. Are you guys with me? Come on, say with me, family. Give a hand to Pastor Eric as he comes. Now, I want you to understand something. Pastor Eric is very handsome, right? But, here's the but. Just stand there, my girl. Even though him and I, we like one another heavy, there's some stuff we cannot do together. What him and I cannot do, we cannot reproduce. We cannot reproduce God upon the earth. Even though he may like me and I like my like him, my friend, I tell you, there's some things we cannot do together. Because this is not the us of heaven. This is the us of heaven. Come on. And so what is the devil doing in this hour? He is confusing this for this. I might tell you out of testimony, out of 17 years, I promise you by the love of Jesus, this is much better. Yeah, and all the married people say? All the married people say? But now this is what the devil does. He isolates young men. And he works with them. And he does this. I want you to understand. To stand still. William, run here. Run. Run. I want you to understand something. I'm going to stand in front of Paul here. If William is now the son, and Eric is the father, right? If there's no father in the house, what the devil does, he does this. He pushes the son. What catches the son is the foundation. And so, what the devil has done successfully over the history, he just pushes the son. Now, if Pastor Eric is a father, he'll catch every time. Because the devil cannot, he can attack, but he cannot go beyond. Because for the devil to go beyond the son, he needs to deal with the father. But now, if I remove the foundation, I can take the son wherever I want to. Why? If I can confuse the boy, I can take him wherever I want to. And that's why when God, the Father, restores your family, the first place he takes the son, back to the father's house. you say, oh, no, prophet, give me scripture for that. Okay, let me give you scripture. There was once a young man that said, give me my inheritance. And the young man walks of his inheritance. Just stand still, my girl, you look beautiful. And this young man, he squandered all that he had, all the money, all the things. He had many friends. But then one day he sat there with the pigs, with big language. And the pigs were talking to him. And he said to himself, even servants in my father's house has got it better than me. I must return to my father's house. The word father is the word pater. The word pater is the word source. The word source is the word foundation. I must return to my foundation. And now he has started walking back to his foundation to stop. But what the son doesn't know is that the father, the foundation, is looking out for the boy. And the father, as the foundation, is standing on the hill. And when the son is still figuring it out, he's like, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against earth. I'm not worthy to be called your son. No, the Bible says the attitude of the father is, the father runs towards the son. He puts a cloak upon him. He puts a signet ring upon him. Just hold this on my mouth. He does this. He says, no, son, you're back. You're back again. So what the father does, I actually have a signet ring. The father goes, he runs to the son. He runs. He says, no, I cloak you in my abilities. And he says, I give you back full authority. Full authority is restored to you. Now you look again like me. Welcome back to the father's house. Ah, come on. You see, even if he smells like pigs, you have to understand, he's no longer between the pigs anymore. Why? He belongs to the Father. He now again looks like the Father. Oh, come on. Are you guys with me? I just need to take my ring back. Are you guys there? Okay, you need to help me with this jacket, please. You see, now I can preach about everything that we're doing. The Son makes the Father look good again. Now stay with me. What was the job of the Son, Jesus Christ, upon the earth? It was to reflect the Father's heart. So everything the Son does is to represent the Father. Are you with me? So that the Son and the Father can once again get the children back home. Oh, come on, give them a God bless you. Come on, why don't you give Shannon just a hand as she goes. Are you getting what I'm saying in Power Church? God wants, once again, you back in the household of God. He wants you to be family. Revival looks like family. Come on, kids, give Jesus Christ a hand. Amen. So the Trinity, you have to understand, when Satan saw the image of God in the Garden of Eden, he was freaked out. Why? Suddenly there was family. Suddenly Trinity present. I want to say to you, that's why the Spirit of the Lord is present here this morning. He wants to bring sons back to their fathers. There are many young people walking around and they're confused because Satan has whispered to them. He has told them through all these various mediums what the standard of living should be. They watch TikTok, they watch Netflix, they watch all of this stuff. And listen, I'm on TikTok too, I'm on all of these stuff because I'm there for various reasons, but I'm there just for one reason, that's the gospel. But the point being is this, I want you to understand something. Now they watch what the trends is of the world. Now they get home, and I'm going to say it. Now they get home, and mom and dad says they're Christian. But mom and dad swears, mom and dad drinks, mom and dad loses their temper. And now they're even more confused. Should I follow TikTok or should I follow this? Because your Bible says he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so if this God that you serve is so whimsical that you can drink, do adultery, and have a girlfriend on the side, I don't want to serve this God. Because he seems too flimsy. It's interesting, the Bible calls himself, God is a consuming fire. Just because you're getting away with it doesn't mean he approves of it. Come on, do I have sons and daughters here this morning? You understand what I'm saying? I'm not hitting family, I'm saying I'm hitting representation. If we say we represent the Father, let's act like Him.
Yes. Amen.
Let's act like Him. I was once a young, foolish man, 20 years old. I drove my first car my dad gave me. I drove that thing so fast and all those different gears because I was wanting to see how fast it can go. And so I had with my first car more accidents than ever before in my life. And when I drove that car so fast and I messed it up and I did all the different things, that there came a day that I messed it up badly. And in that day, long story short, I messed it up badly. And as I messed it up, my dad was when my dad got very angry, he went silent. So he was silent. There was like a holy silence in the house. I don't know if you have ever know what I'm talking about, but there was like a silence. And I know something's gonna happen. Because of course the vehicle has been messed up, and then after a day or two or three passed, and then what happened was he just called me in and he said this. He said, you know, it was almost like a meeting back then, but he sat and he said, listen, you've messed it up. You know this. I was like, yeah, I know. I was sorry, because I think I was more sorry that I didn't have something to drive with than I was really sorry that I messed it up. But I just said, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done this. I know I shouldn't have done this. But I was expecting rebuke. I was respecting discipline. And my dad didn't give me the discipline. He just said this. He says, have this mistake on me. And then he said this. He said, there'll be no penalty for what you've done. And it's this. His goodness made me question me. And it changed me that from that day till this day, you can look at any of my vehicles. They are looked after. Because He taught me something of ownership, but through His grace. It's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. Come on. It's the goodness of the Lord that leads you to repentance. There is a voice that shouts out in the wilderness. It is the voice of the Father that says, come back home, my beloved, come back home. It's not too late. It's not too late. You might have messed up once, or messed up twice, or messed up three or four or five times. So what? Come home, my beloved, come home. I'm telling you this morning, men, if you've been confused for 10 years or 20 years or 30 years, it doesn't matter. Come home. God still wants to do what He wanted to do when He started off with you. God is not confused about who you are and what He wants to do with your life. God knows what He wants to do with you. Revival looks like you. Daddy is destiny. Daddy is destiny. Dads that are here, you are the destiny of your children. We cannot not take this serious. Fathers, we need you. I need you to fight for your families. You have to fight for your wife. You have to fight for your children. You have to show up. You have to fight. And I know there are many men, they've gone through bad drillings. I understand, because the pressure is heavy. 40 years ago, a good man was just a man that supplied. It's honest, it's true what I'm saying. 40 years, 30 years ago, a good man was a guy that just worked and he supplied. Now a man needs to be in touch with all of his emotions. He needs to show all of them. And a lot of older men are confused in this hour because they don't know how to show, but they've never been taught. Why? Because we were raised by a generation that didn't understand it. Come on, the generation that educated me, the generation that raised me, they don't understand what we are facing now. Yeah, come on, and the men can say amen. They don't understand what we're facing now. But all I know is this, is that we cannot do it like we did it then. We have to do it afresh and anew right now. Oh, come on. Is there anybody that's with me? Dads, listen to me. If you don't date your daughter, somebody else is gonna. If you don't love your daughters well and holy, somebody else is gonna do stuff that you should have done. example, again I say, if you get the example of Trinity, it is so important. And I want to just say these things because I want to get them out of my spirit. The Bible says a father is a protector, a father is a promoter, a father is a priest. Let me say it again. The father is a protector. In other words, you have to protect your family. If something goes wrong, it's on your watch. You have to protect. A father is the priest. You have to present your family before the Lord. It is your job. And then lastly, a father is a promoter. You promote your family. Some of the greatest wounds that we deal with is fathers that wounded their sons. A true father never wounds a son. Come on. Let me just say it like this. Marriage is the most important decision that you'll ever, ever, ever make after salvation. So who you marry matters. Oh, let me say that again. Who you marry matters. Amen. Don't choose Jesus, which is heaven, and then get married to hell. Take your time. And if I can give you some tips in this morning, listen, there's some tips. Question number one, do you serve Jesus Christ? Okay, great. Question number two, are you spirit-filled? Question number three, do you follow the word of the Lord? Question number four, do you have a work? Question number five, do you have debt? Question number six, do you have boundaries? Question number seven, do you have baggage? Question number eight, how's your family? Question number nine, how do you see the future? Question number 10, is there something in your past that I need to know about? Question number 11, what is your vision for your life? Question number 12, what is the purpose that God made you for? Question number 13, where are we going? Question number 15, listen, young people, don't just sit there and all be awestruck. If they don't know where they are going, run. Oh, can I have an amen? The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5, verse number 8, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own households, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Marriage is important. It's God's design. God does not command marriage, by the way. But if you do want to get married, make the right choices. When I studied yesterday, the Lord said to me, he said, there's four signs of a society that's busy decaying. Four signs. Say with me, four signs. Sign number one, marriage loses its sacredness. Marriage loses its sacredness. Marriage is holy. In other words, if you are not married, then respect marriages. Marriage is holy. But one of the signs of a decaying society is marriage is not treated as holy. No, one man, one wife. 17 years, one man, one wife. Been with this woman for 17 years, one man, one wife. You see, but my victories is actually my father's victories. Because my father was married for 47 years. One man, one wife. Come on, you have to understand, marriage is starting to lose its sacredness. No, marriage is holy. It's holy, it's a covenant. It's a covenant. Covenant means once the ring is on, it's on. Can I give you more revelation? Are you okay? Just quickly come here, my beautiful. I want to show you something. I want you to understand this. Save me, revelation. This is my eldest daughter. I want you to understand something. Have you ever noticed when a dad walks his daughter down the aisle, he does it very slowly. Have you ever asked why? Because the father knows that he's going to leave this at some level now. And it's interesting that the father doesn't take this daughter just anywhere. He takes this daughter to an altar where there's another man. So, fathers, when you give your children, and I'm not ready yet in any given way, yeah, is that I have to take my responsibilities to take this beautiful girl of mine to the highest level that I can. And then whoever comes has to be on my level to take this further. Otherwise, we're doing a downgrade and not an upgrade. Thank you. Are you with me? But here is why you have to understand. Come on, are we family, right? So this is what happens. The father walks slowly. This is how stupid young men are. Young men will stand. They just see, oh, we're going to have lacquer, you know? But the father doesn't think like that. The father thinks responsibility. Somebody else is going to pay now. Somebody else is going to need to cultivate now. That's why, young ladies, when you are here, before you get married to a young man, ask yourself the question, does he have the necessary traits and qualifications that can husbandry me like when I was with my dad? Oh, can I have an amen? It's true, because as when Shannon and I got together, it was nice, she's beautiful, so you reproduce your first child, but who of you know that any man can give sperm to a lady? It takes a father to raise that child into a beautiful, God-fearing, educated being. And that's why the father walks so slowly, because he's taking that young girl to an altar. Young men, tip. Altar means sacrifice. From the day you've married that girl, learn the word sacrifice. You'll need to sacrifice stuff to love her well. It's true. Sometimes you'll need to be second. Sometimes you'll need to stand back. Sometimes you'll need to take your nice jacket off and get into the fight. Sometimes you'll have to say no. You must be the one that are the husband, not the male. God is not looking for males. He's looking for husbands. Come on, give Jesus some glory. It's interesting, and I'll say one or two more things. Have you learned? Okay, now listen to me. You have to understand what I'm busy teaching you this morning is for your edification, so that you can grow up in the faith. The Bible says, equip the saints for the work of the ministry so that they may grow up in the head, which is Christ Jesus. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't call himself the male towards a church. He calls himself the husband. Why? He washes his own wife with his words. Ephesians 5:25. There's three more signs. I quickly want to give them to you. Marriage loses its sacredness. Secondly, the traditional meaning of marriage is lost. Traditional meaning of marriage is lost. May we not ever lose the traditional meaning of marriage. May our yes be our yes and our vows stay our vows. Oh, can I have an amen? Okay. Then, third sign that we are in a decaying society is there's an increased disrespect towards parents. An increased disrespect towards parents. Listen, parents, set the boundaries for your children. Don't allow your children to disrespect you. Don't allow your children to disrespect any adult. You know, even, oh, come on, can we just have an amen for that? You know, I grew up in a boys' school. In a boys' school, we were taught like this. When we sat on the grass and an older person will come past, we'll need to stand up and introduce ourselves. And even to this day, the Bible says the following: even though I can have authority and I can have anointing, I can have all of these things, the Bible says, treat an older person like a father. treat an older woman like a mother, treat a younger woman like a daughter or like a sister, right? That's what the Bible said. Then we see an increased disrespect for parents. Listen, no. When that girl comes out of that, you know, and talks a certain way, and that boy does certain stuff, you have to correct it. By the way, the Bible never, ever, ever says a woman corrects the children. The Bible says a father disciplines. In other words, if the father never disciplines, what will happen is that the family will go wonky. The family will go weird because the father is standing back. He's not disciplining. No, the father's work is to discipline. Are you there? You know, and I don't know how you grew up. I grew up with my dad slapped me twice and three and four and five times. My mom and my dad was completely different. My dad was like order. He had order. He was like, listen, you did this. You almost caused this. So now I'm going to, I give you three or four or five or six. He was like a judge. He sat you down. He gave you a sentence and you needed to take it. That was my dad. My dad was like that. He was like, you get three or six or four. Like when I stole the car, six. When I, you know, messed certain things up, three. You know, Marie was just. My mom wasn't like that. My mom just beat you everywhere, anywhere where she can. She'll slap you with anything. She'll slap you twice. She'll throw stuff at you. She was wild. And so I learned as we grew older that I just need to get a tire. You know, it's amazing how many stuff changes when you, you know, when Simone and I grew up. In the front of my parents' house was a certain room. It was like the sitting room. Nobody but God could go in there. Do you know what I'm talking about? Does anybody have a room like that? Now, anyway, in that room was a chess piece, a crystal chess piece that my grandfather gave my mom. And the love of God, I tell you, my mom would kill you if you go close to that stuff. She warned us, you don't go in that room. I'm like, okay. Then we got children. And my two children were Jazz and Mikhail were first. One of the first stuff they broke was that chess piece. And then my mom said this, it's earthly stuff. I was like, hey, you bloody beaten us almost to death for just going into that room. This hypocritical thing here. And then when we wanted to discipline our children, my mom said, no, don't eat the kids like that. Whoa. Who can say with me? Where's the sons and daughters can say amen to that? It's like you threw keyrings at me, man. Oh, can anybody relate to my pain? I'm counseling myself as I'm preaching. Increase of public disrespect for parents. It's happening. Then, listen to me carefully. One of the biggest sins of our society, increased acceptance of adultery and sexual perversion. We think it's okay. No. Let me tell you, Jesus is standard. Jesus says, if you look at another woman of lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. No, it's not okay. It's not okay to have a girlfriend and a wife. You have a wife. Work in your own garden. No, but you don't understand her. I don't need to. It was your choice. Or women feel alone. They're like, where's the husband? He's not doing what he's supposed to. Well, bring him. We'll teach him. Are you with me? Come on. We need to back. Say with me, revival. Looks like family. Save me. The us must return. So what God wants to do this morning, He wants the us to return. He wants the wife and the husband. He wants the us. The us must come back. Oh, this. You have to send this sermon to people. God wants the us to come back. And there's many sitting here, you're not in the us that you should be. You might sleep together in the same room. You might be next to one another on the same bed, but the us is missing. And God wants to bring back the us. The reason why stuff is not working is because the us is gone. God wants the us back. God wants a husband and a wife to function exactly like He created them, husband and wife. Come on, are you guys with me? And so this morning, I want to pray for that. And I want to speak into that. Because I believe that the Lord wants to create the us back. Come on, are you guys there? Save me, us. So God wants the us back. And so this morning, as I want us to take this a holy moment of this, because if we don't get the us back, we can get into a place where we cannot return as it should be. And God wants the us back, especially everybody listening, Durban, listen to me this morning, Cape Town. God wants the us back. Revival looks like family. So there are people here this morning, we need to get the us back in you. How do we do it? We go back to the source. We go back to the Father. He knows the plan. When we messed up, we ask Him again, show us again how to do this. And so this morning, I want to pray for couples. You may be here. Yes, Holy Spirit. You might be here as a single parent. I want to tell you, single means whole. Single means whole. So if that's you this morning, I want you to, as husbands, wives, families, can you respond to that by standing? Just saying, Lord, that's us. We want to get the us back. And what I want to do is I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you and make sure we get the us back. Can I ask you just to raise your hands? Here we are. There's many people standing. Can I ask the Christians that are other people that are around these precious people? Can you please quickly lay your hands on them? Come on, guys. Let's quickly go. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Now let's agree this morning. We are a family, right? Let's agree. Father, we want to pray over every single one of these families. Father, we speak the us of heaven over each of them in this day, in Jesus' name. Father, I want to pray out over every single one of them. Lord, that the us of heaven will be inside of them. Father, we pray in this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, wherever there has not been the us, but Lord, that right now in the name of Jesus Christ, that the us will return. Father, I pray that men will take in back their position, that women will take in their position, that children will take in their position. That Father, from this moment, Lord, there where there might have been disrepute, there where there might have been things not in place, there where there might have been things out of order, Father, I pray that in this morning, in this day, that the us returns in Jesus Christ's name. And if you agree with that prayer, just say amen and amen. Come on, Empower Church. Can we just give Jesus Christ 10 seconds of praise? Just want to come down. Come on, can we just raise our hands of expectation? I just want to do a word or two. Then we'll go on with the... Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's just pray. Can we pray in the Holy Spirit? Can we pray in the Holy Spirit? Can I just... Elise, can you quickly come here, please? Just have a word for you. Come on, can we pray in the Spirit? Is that okay? What the Lord say to me that I must just say this to you, of that sickness, the way that the enemy has planned this, will not be like this. God has got a whole other destiny in mind for you, a whole other destiny. As I saw you this morning, I heard the Lord say to me so clearly, I must tell you that sickness will not be the end of your story. Sickness will not have the power. It will not have the ability. It will not have the authority. And I see joy again. God's going to bring back joy. It's going to silence the accuser. It's going to silence the words of the enemy. And even in all the lonely days and all the lonely moments and all the tears, I hear the Lord say to me, I'm aware of them all. But in this day, hear the word of the Lord. I believe the Lord is saying to you, there's a new season that He wants to announce over your life. Not a season of being broken, not a season of looking back, not that, but a season of joy and a season of peace. And today what I'm going to do, I'm going to break off any form of infirmity and sickness that I see wants to roar against your life. I hear the Lord say to me, you will not end your days early. You will not end your days prematurely. God will not allow this. You will live out your days. And this thing that Satan told you that your life will end quickly, it's nonsense. I see you becoming an older woman. I see you having your children, your grandchildren. They'll be all around you. I see your grandchildren grown, all of them grown. I want to give you timelines. They grow. You're going to be an old woman. You're not going to die quickly. And these premature things that the enemy tried to do, I hear the Lord say to me, He had nothing to do with any of these events. He didn't want to teach you something. He didn't want to educate you about anything. But what He does want to do, He wants to bring new peace, new joy, and new hope in your life. And today, I'm going to pray for you for sickness. I'm going to pray for infirmity to go, and it will never return. It will not be upon your bones. It will not be in your body. It will be nowhere, absolutely nowhere, because the Lord is with you. I hear the Lord standing next to your bed. He looks upon you. He looks upon you. And I want you to know that. But there comes a time that mourning turns to laughter. God's going to make you laugh again. Amen. So Father, in the name of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the Most High God, Lord, I release Him from sickness, infirmity, and premature death in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Come on, let's just give Jesus some praise. Let's just give Jesus some praise. I feel the Lord is saying to me, second chances, second chances, second chances. There is people here and online as well, second chances. The Lord is saying to me, second chances. He wants to give you a, you believe that you have no chance. I hear the Lord say to me, it's a lie out of the pit of hell, second chances. He will give you second chance. So whatever has been messed up, He will redeem it in this day. You will not need to be like anybody else, nor like you. Listen, this lie is so strong. You've wanted to give up on your life because of this satanic lie. I tell you the truth this morning, Satan is a liar. God is the God of second chances. I hear second chance. If that's your second chance, I just want you to throw up your hand and say, if that's been you and you're like, second chance, you feel like you've lost it, come here, quickly come to me, please. Come, 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 come. Come, quickly. Come on, He is the restorer. He is the redeemer. Come on, He has not done of you. He is not finished. Come on, empower church. Now I want you to lift your hands quickly, because I'm gonna touch all of you quickly, because I believe that God wants to give you the second chance that you've asked for. And I want to say to you this morning, the devil is a liar. He has lied to you. The Lord is the Lord of the second chance. So Father, in this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord of all of these people around me, Lord, Father, I speak quickly in this morning. Father, I speak forth your word, Lord, that right now, Lord, that these lies of the father of lies will be broken off these people in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, as I just touch him very, very quickly, Father, I want to pray that new hope gets rekindled in their hearts in this day, in Jesus Christ's name. And Father, I pray for the second chance of Jesus Christ to come upon their lives right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for the God of second chances. Father, I break off every other voice, every other lie, every lie that the enemy wanted to give, that they're not good enough. I break these words of accusation in the name of Jesus. And I speak over you the second chances of God. Speak of your body the second chances. I speak of your mind the second chances. In this day, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you. So it shall be, so it shall be, so it shall be from this moment. In the name of Jesus Christ, the God of second chances, the God of second chances, the God of second chances. Father, we thank you that you are the God of second chances. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, the God of the second chances. Those people. Are you together, husband and wife? Husband and wife, just hold hands. Just bring those people over that side. I hear the Lord say to the both of you, what? There's been a season, there's been a time, there's been a moment, like it felt like it's over. It's done, it's finished. I see a lot of voices of accusation against the both of you. A lot of lies, it's almost like your life is. Can I ask the other pastors, will you quickly pray for the people, please? Can you quickly pray for the people? I feel the Lord says there's a lot of lies and a lot of accusations. It's every time you make 3, 4, 5 steps forward, it feels like you fall 10 back. And then you make a little bit of progress and then you fall back again. And then a little bit of progress and then you fall back again. And that's been like repetitive. And even as you stand in front of me, I see that there's family voices against both of you. There's something heavy, and from time to time you guys take on a spirit of heaviness, become heavy. Sometimes you'll drink, you'll go into that, you'll run after stuff. But I hear the Lord say to me that He wants to bring restoration to the both of you this day. He wants to tell you your home of Him. There's things that God is going to restore in this hour that seem to be impossible. And I just hear the Father's heart for you that this next 2 to 3 months you must watch how the Lord's going to put stuff into place. What seemed like it can't happen, I'm going to tell you, because what's going to happen from this day forward, I for the sake of time I can't prophesy everything, but what I do see is that God's going to put a foundation in and you won't slip past a certain place anymore. There's stuff that you've asked God for, you're going to see it happen in this day. And in this hour, there's things that you've been waiting for, like, God, till when will we wait? Now is the time. Now is the day. Amen. Why don't you raise your hands? I want to pray for you. Father, I want to pray in this day in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to break off every alternative voice spoken in accusation, spoken in condemnation over this precious couple. And in this day, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I let the voice of love, the voice of affirmation, the voice of restoration, the voice of the foundation, restore back to them. Father, I see the future in them. And Lord, I pray, Lord, I go and get it for them and I bring it again for back into their lives, Lord. That seemed impossible shall be done. That what seemed that cannot be happening, it will happen once again. For it is the Father's voice that affirms you, not the satanic voices that has suggested an alternative future for you. Not so. And even now, as the power of the Lord comes again afresh upon you, you will know that I've called you for this time. Hear the word of the Lord. It will not be according to what some say. It will be from this day according to what I say. And your ears will go open. Your eyes will see from this day, says the Lord. Lord, I touch them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Come on, let's give Jesus some praise. Come on, can we give Jesus some praise? Come on. Come on, empower. Oh, come on, can we just give Jesus 10 seconds? 10 seconds of praise. No. Can we stand to our feet? Come on, let's just give Jesus 10 seconds of awesome praise in this place. Come on, I want you to shout for your families. I want you to shout as overcomers. Amen. As you are busy standing, I want all the fathers, I want you to raise your hands to the Lord. All the fathers. Father, I speak out over every father that's in this place. Father, I impart to them new strength. I impart to them courage to be. I impart to them, Lord, the abilities to stand and to be the foundation. Father, in this day, I speak out over every one of their lives, Lord. That, Lord, from this day, Lord, that they will stand strong. Father, I pray that they will not be of those that sways to the left or to the right, but that they will be Peters in their generation that will stand as fathers. I pray that their families will be safe. I pray that their children will be secure. I pray that the destiny shall be set. In Jesus' name. All the women that are in this place, that you are here and you are without a father, I want you to lift your hands. You don't have a husband. All the women in this place don't have a husband. Lift your hands, please. Father, I want to pray. Church, let's pray together. We're family. Father, I want to pray for every woman that are here, and I want to declare the word of the Lord over them. You are not unprotected. And Father, under the corporate anointing, the corporate gathering in this place, and Father, as being the authority here, we speak a word of covering over your life. That there will not be one area of your life, physically, spiritually, or emotionally, that's uncovered. But we speak a word of protection. I need your agreement, Pastor. I speak a word of protection over your life. That Satan will not find a way to come into your household and steal the purposes of God. You are covered, not just by your heavenly Father, but by us as a local assembly representing a part of the vineyard in the name of Jesus Christ. This shall be so. In Jesus' name. And if you agree with that prayer, say amen and amen and amen. Come on, let's give him some praise, please.